Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. Welcome back in. Hour number two, Diesel and I live in the Health Dare studios. You can get in with us on the Health Dare text line at 71307. Speaking of... we get one on the text line, says LeBron will switch to number 6 to signify how many NBA finals he's lost. I got to give you credit there, the 0301. That is absolutely funny. Also, I have no idea. I'm sure it's just I did see a little like red, white. It asks, why no American flag on the uniform in the Women's World Cup? I think it was just taking care of the... of the color scheme, in all honesty, I didn't pay that much attention to it. ESPN locked twice during first week, gets Clay C in a little bit ago. So, again, you can get your opinion at 71307. You can bring it to us straight up at 844-GSP-ESPN. So, yeah, I want Diesel to keep getting you. Here's the deal. My private company, my small company works like this. Diesel, I'll give you a job title, but I'm not going to give you a raise, all right?
No.
Dadgummit. All right, well, we'll be right back. We'll move on to the next subject. No, but my like I said, I might not always be able to throw some cash at you when it comes to a raise, but we can change your job title all day long. So, you know, maybe I was wrong, as has been more often than not here recently, when the other day I said, should we give you a raise of the job title, at least from most decent to most mediocre? And we decided, nope, you wanted to go back to the original stance. I have a new... Can we just nickname you Diesel, Diesel underscore Captain Awesome? Can you look? Because I have a new job opportunity. For people that don't know, Diesel's a CrossFit athlete, works out, very impressive physique, and Diesel could do some damage in the right situation. The Los Angeles Dodgers are getting sick of dealing with the same issue night after night. Following yet another fan running onto the field during the game, Justin Turner, one of the Dodgers, called for an end to this. He said, quote, "It's getting ridiculous. It's just not safe, and it seems like they're getting younger and younger, and it's going around now that nothing's happening to these young people. They're just kind of getting a slap on the wrist. So baseball's going to have to do something to make it hurt enough to keep fans in the stands and not running on the field." Diesel, this is your job at the Dodger Stadium. You get to be the guy that buries the young man, or in a couple of cases, the young woman that come running on the field. Writing a ticket for $100 for mom and dad to go pay off, it's not going to do it. Diesel, how do you stop this? You know, they don't show streakers because of A, they don't want to show the nudity, B, they don't want to give the guy attention. But we give the guys and gals attention that run on the field. They're not afraid of it. They're not going to jail. So hurt them. I think the key to this is what the 34-year-old Los Angeles Dodger Justin Turner said in the end of this comment. You got to do something to make it hurt enough to keep fans in the stands. Am I out of line when I'm not advocating go break somebody's neck, but I am advocating a 4-point stance tackle, look with your eyes up, shoulders right into the middle of the chest, and you drive them back into the turf, and you make it hurt.
What did Bill Murray say in that great scene in Caddyshack? He said, just slice right along the Achilles tendon. He goes, he'll never come all the way around. He'll never follow all the way through. He'll give up the game. He'll quit the game.
His balance would be off and this and that. But how do you stop that? Again, they're going to go, and it's gotten younger and younger. And you know what's happening. Mom and dads are probably writing the ticket because they don't want little Johnny or little Jane to get in trouble. So there's nothing that's going to come out of that. Plus, they're probably becoming bigger legends at where they're hanging out, bragging about running on the field. I am not advocating to just, like, put somebody in the hospital, but I wouldn't mind somebody walking away with a black eye and a bloody nose. Make it hurt. Make it – or raise it to a $5,000. But let me tell you something, people. When you purchase that ticket to go attend a football game, a basketball game, a hockey, golf, whatever, it doesn't ensure your right to end up on the field to play. What you are doing is you are putting other people at risk. Make it hurt. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm telling you, make it hurt in the very fit. Hire nothing but guys that go work out at the gym. You know what I mean, Diesel? When this guy comes running on the field, their job's not to go get. Their job is to bury his butt into the turf and show that on television. Am I out of line? Am I old? Am I fuddy-duddy? Because, again, we are talking, it's happening game after game in Los Angeles now. How do you fix it, Diesel? I get it. I was probably pushing the – but I still think a fantastic just pile-driving tackle would be a great way on ESPN to show these fools quit doing this. Okay. Again, it happened last night following the Dodgers' 3-2 win Tuesday. A young fan ran onto the field. And, of course, that marked the third straight Dodgers game in which a fan has run onto the field. So, people need to stop this stuff. I mean, it's actually a bigger issue than which people will even acknowledge. So, I was just – I don't want to see anybody, like, hurt for life, but you know what? There are repercussions for everybody's actions. And, I think that's the way you're going to have to go about it at some point.
It's really hard to stop a trend. Once a trend becomes a trend, you can't pump the brakes on it.
Yeah, you can.
No, you have to let it. You have to let it run its course. And then it goes away, because if you try to stamp it out, it gets worse.
Little Johnny come home with a black eye, a little bit of crusty blood down by his nose, maybe his shoulder hurting a little bit. And, oh, my God, what happened to you, son? I ran out on the field and I got tackled. You did what? I mean, that's got to be the answer. Somebody gets in with us on the text line. Make it a felony. I'm not sure I want to go felony. Unless you have the opportunity to make it work, work it off. I don't think this should be if you got a felony tag to your name, Diesel, that can haunt you for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? From applications for jobs to trying to buy a house. Making it a felony would definitely hurt, but that's one that could last a long, long time. And thank God I'm not paying and being hurt for a couple of dumb decisions I made in my 20s, but they were never running on a field during a baseball game. So while I see the idea of make it a felony, I would lean more toward just make it hurt in the short term. Black eye, bloody nose, whatever. That's something you're going to feel for a few days.
So Sturge is advocating physical violence.
Yes. You know what happens? We go pay that money for a football game in this instance to go see people tackle themselves, tackle each other. I would add a dollar on for every security guard onto every ticket to have him have the right to pile drive one of these little guys right down in the turf. So, again, how would you fix it? We'll take your opinions on that. Also, I love this one. best headline when it comes to the American women knocking off the French women's soccer team in the quarterfinals in Paris just a few minutes ago, Diesel. Brian Hamilton from Sports Illustrated. Escargot. Instead of escargot, escargot. Yes, the Americans will move on to the semifinals next week. So a couple other things that we're going to talk to here today with the top of the 6 p.m. hour will be Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal. Dana White is admitting at this point he's taking a long look at a fight to promote for MMA, just simply in the fact it's so outrageous it may actually work. So, again, a lot of things. And people are on edge. Darren Clark really, really went after one of the scorers at the U.S. Senior Open earlier today. And I can't say that I'd necessarily disagree. Probably wouldn't have taken it that far. Deez?
Caller said make him clean out one of the sections of the stands before they leave.
Yeah. A little personal response, or maybe even a toilet.
Yeah. But the question is, going back to what you had just said about Dana White being interested in the Justin Bieber, Tom Cruise fight, you know how you kill the legitimacy of your sport?
Dude.
Get it close to being legitimate and then start taking stupid fights like that. I mean, I know that, you know, the mouth-breathing, knuckle-dragging, you know, some of those fans will love it, but you will never ever have any legitimacy to your sport if you start basing your biggest events, because you know that they would sponsor this and promote this as one of their biggest, oh my God, you can't miss this events, and you have pop stars fighting 50-year-old actors.
Didn't we already see this television show about a decade ago called Celebrity Fights, in which Tanya Harding fought a couple of people, things of that nature? Because I feel like on that end, we had it before. But if you're going to go off that deep end, then just make it a celebrity-oriented show, and let's get some others involved as well, kind of like the Backstreet Boys versus Nickelback. I don't know. Bring it to us. Tell us what you'd like to see in that kind of format as well. But I don't know. None of us are Justin Bieber fans, and I still think Tom Cruise could whoop his butt.
So we dropped Kyle on the phone, but Kyle was wanting to know your thoughts. Because one of the instances of a fan running onto the field was a young girl wanting to hug her favorite player, Cody Bellinger, and how you would feel as a father if Leslie Brooke was just such a big fan of a player and ran out to hug the player, what would you want to happen?
First of all, I can promise you.
Don't promise me that Leslie Brooke would never do it. Tell me what would happen if that happened.
I'd say you made your bed, you're going to sleep in it. You know what I mean? As long as she doesn't come home in a neck brace or something like that, you know what? I would look at her and say, guess what, child? I'm disappointed in your actions to begin with. I thought I raised you better than that. You don't bring that kind of attention to yourself. So guess what? I would hold her personally accountable and then say, you probably, now, again, I'm not talking about putting somebody in a neck brace. You know what? I'm talking about getting planted and making sure that the moment gets seen. Writing checks isn't doing it. Giving them misdemeanors isn't doing it. So make it hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. But the first thing that I would do, I would let her have it for disappointing herself as well as her mom and dad for going, I thought we raised you better than that. That's called being a parent. You know what? It's not always somebody else's fault. 844-GSP-ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Team USA, they advance to the semifinals of the Women's World Cup. So they will get back next week in France and a chance to win it all. And a lot of their toughest competition is now out of the tournament. But Diesel, I have a new favorite player in the NFL. I was very moved by this earlier today. Do you know the story of Ryan Shazier? 20 months ago, he had a serious spinal cord injury, so serious that he only had a 20% chance to walk again. You know, he's the he's the Pittsburgh Steeler, and I was blown away. You know, here's a guy, again, 20% chance to ever walk again, walking across, he wanted to walk for his wedding in May and do a few other things. And you know what? He managed to get it done. But Ryan Shazier had this to say: I still want to make the Hall of Fame. I still want to be the best linebacker in the NFL. I'm not giving up on my goals. And the doctor said, don't give up on your goals. So there's no problem with me doing that. I'm just going to keep working, and hopefully I'm going to be back as soon as I can. I mean, what an unbelievable attitude. He said, you know, until there's no chance of getting back into the NFL, his goal is to get back.
You gotta have something to strive for in that situation. It's so tough, when life throws you something like that, and so many people just get into this "woe is me," this is my lot now, life sucks. Yeah, good for him.
No, see, I had that happen on Monday. I mean, we really never, ever have a guest in that first segment, but I could tell that Michael Hogue was tired after being out there at the golf tournament all day. And again, for people that don't remember him on Monday, here's a young man that's a USC student that will be our intern for the this year for the George Rogers Foundation. And just a few years ago, he dove headfirst into a swimming pool at a friend's house, not really paying that quick of close of attention to what he did, and he hit his head on the bottom of the pool and broke his neck. If his friends weren't there, he would have died. And I got a little, I had a lot going on, kind of caught up in the moment, met this young man, boom. All that stuff kind of just rolled away from me. And again, Ryan Shazier saying he's appreciative for every day that he gets. He says, because, quote, unquote, every day I'm beating the odds. Every day I'm getting better, proving people wrong that never thought I'd be where I am. I'm constantly and proud of where I'm at, so keep on working for it. Let me ask you this. I mean, if he doesn't make it back on the field with the Pittsburgh Steelers or any of the other teams in the NFL, should this guy, Ryan Shazier, not be hired by the NFL to maybe make the rounds amongst the 31 locker rooms during the summer, during training camp, to go, here's what it's all about? This message to me is something that the NFL should make sure that they have implemented within the walls of their own system. Is that going too far? But I think every single player could listen to this story, because it could be them, Diesel.
Yeah, but the NFL won't.
I know.
They won't. That's all they care about is money. They don't care about having quality human beings in their organization.
you know, because talking about a little pivot here, what's one of the craziest rulings that the NFL's come up with that you just go, what? You know, granted, it was the XFL and Rod Smart who had He Hate Me on the back. And he, by the way, if you did not hear last week, he had disappeared, but he turned up safely. So Rod Smart, He Hate Me, back with his family over in the Lancaster County area. But He Hate Me maybe went down a trend that was just – you saw the case of the football player originally from Canada. He's a medical doctor. During the offseason, over the last few years, he has gone to med school, and he is now an MD. And the NFL will not – they'll let you put what, you know, Mark, you know, Sturgis the fourth, that that's what you are, Sturgis with the, you know, IV for four, or so-and-so the third, or even, you know, Diesel Johnson Jr., you know what I mean? But they would not let that one player who went out and earned his medical degree put MD on his jersey, Diesel. To me, if I am the league itself, I want that. And guess what? Every single week, I'm making sure that that gets shown on television multiple, multiple times. Because that's the image that you want to sell. Hey, you can be a football player and – if you really want to do it, you can go to med school at the same time and become a doctor. So I can't get what the NFL rulings are, but they need to share these stories more than they need to share the stories of Plaxico Burress back in the day. You know, and the reason I pick on Plaxico, when you carry a gun into the nightclub in your front pocket and ultimately shoot yourself, you get a little snickering, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Mark Ryan last night, Diesel. When you get caught in a sports bar with a, what do you call that stuff, claw, whatever, the seltzer-based drink with a salad with raspberry vinaigrette dressing right in front of you at a sports bar, you get called out, and we did call out Mark Ryan. But, yeah, I can't understand why the NFL would think that's not – putting MD for medical doctor on the back of a jersey would be something that they didn't want to be involved with. The old saying, you can't please everybody all the time. Now, what you can do – Diesel did a fantastic job earlier this week of putting up an article on ESPNUpstate.com. Breaking down some of the conference relocation, you know what I mean? And we saw one this past weekend that was rather shocking because, quite frankly, it was basketball-oriented. And all the up until this point, I would say 98% of the moves we've seen in the last decade were football-oriented by the conferences and by the schools themselves. Our buddy Pat 40 with Yahoo Sports put out a really great list or really great article just yesterday about who were the winners and losers over the last decade when it comes to conference expansion and realignment. And you know what? You read through the article, there are some definitive winners and losers when it comes to conference realignment. We'll give you those. Plus, give us yours before we get to it at 844-GSP-ESPN. You can get with us at 71307 on the text line here in the Health Dare studio. Also, you can give us a follow on Twitter at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio, and at Sturgis Sports. And make sure you go download the radio.com app, dial up ESPN Upstate. You can take us wherever you go.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So we're going to take a look at Pat Forty's article about winners and losers from the last decade of conference realignment. But Stephen patiently waited through the break. Stephen, I hope you're having a good afternoon.
Hey, it's good. How's yours?
It's Friday.
Yep. Well, hey, I say, so winners from the conference realignment, you absolutely got to say that ACC basketball is a winner. You pick up Notre Dame, you pick up Louisville, you pick up Syracuse. I mean, everybody's a winner when you get to watch Boeheim and Krzyzewski go at it every single year. And even when it comes to the ACC tournament, I mean, no longer is it confined to that Coliseum in Greensboro. I mean, they just had an ACC championship or a tournament up in Brooklyn, which is an awesome place for that tournament to be held. But I will say loser is without a doubt ACC football. I mean, Louisville was a flash in the pan with Lamar Jackson, and they're just a disaster now. Virginia Tech has showed that if you don't have a Vic at quarterback, they're nothing special. The U is nothing like what it used to be. Syracuse, the only thing that they really have to offer, I mean, I know you like Dino Babers, and I do too, but the only thing Syracuse football has to offer is a trip to the Baseball Hall of Fame if you go up to an away game there. And then on top of it, all those teams got – or six of those teams in the ACC got to play – Notre Dame every year, and unless you're Clemson and you have the benefit of playing a quarterback making his first start in a hurricane, that's a loss right there at a conference for those teams. On top of it, they play the championship game in Charlotte in December, which isn't great weather. I mean, move it back down to Jacksonville or someplace like that, but they're not willing to do that because they got to cater to Pitt and Boston College and the teams at Syracuse, teams from up north now. So ACC football definitely took a hit.
Well, you know, they do have two out of three national the last three national championships, have another one with Florida State as well. So when it comes to rings, they've survived there. I would say on the flip side, why the hell would you have the ACC championship game in Florida if the Florida teams aren't going to be there? The natural spot for it, Charlotte. Yeah, can't control the weather. Big Ten's got the, you know, can have it inside in Indianapolis and stuff like that. But go back and look at the Gator Bowl back in the day, or even Tampa when Clemson and Georgia Tech played. Nobody was willing to make that trip in the short term. So, you know, it's difficult. Darned if you do, darned if you don't.
The only way to fix that is to somehow, and it's not going to happen, is to somehow get the SEC to agree to play their championship game in New Orleans so that the ACC can use Atlanta.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
They'll never do that because they're not going to do anything that benefits their
counterpart. At least at that point, you have a centralized hub where everybody can fly into. You can play inside of a dome. But, again, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, I will say, you know, you start calling off some of those things with the ACC when it comes to football. Just realize five private schools in that league. They're not going to have the same top to bottom of all the state schools in the Big Ten or the Southeastern Conference or even the Big 12. So, I mean, Syracuse is a private school. Miami's a private school. Wake Forest is private. Duke's private. Let's see. Georgia Tech, effectively. So, you know, Boston College is a private school. So there are inherent disadvantages there. The fact that they have, what, three national titles and played for a fourth in the last decade and had beaten Alabama, my team, beat them to death this year. I wasn't a bragging.
You said my team, Alabama, get the elephant.
Yeah, and I'm embarrassed. And I will say this. I'm embarrassed, Stephen, for all the haters out there that make excuses for my team getting their butts kicked in the national championship game. Whether it's the Bama media, the SEC media, or whatever, quit making excuses. I don't need you to do – I'm not saying you, Steve, but I don't need that media to make the excuse for me. Excuses are for losers. You know what I mean? And I tip my cap. As much as Bama got beat by four touchdowns, the thing that embarrassed me the most, and it was hands down, Clemson got the ball back with 10 minutes and 1 second left in the fourth quarter of a game they were going to win, and they kept it. We couldn't get them off the field. So Clemson, they won that game that night. Now, where I do agree with Steven, Syracuse and Pitt – they were winners when it comes to this round. Why? Syracuse was a heavyweight basketball program. It hasn't hurt them, but I do think that joining the ACC has now helped Syracuse rise up once again in football. Pitt, they're going to ride the arc.
Rise up to where? Mediocrity?
Yeah, well.
Rise up from awful to eh?
10 wins last year. How's that mediocre?
Okay, one season. But you talked about the last decade.
But you have to go up. I'm just saying it's helped them. This move took place. It was a benefit to their football program. They're better off today than where they were. And ultimately, when Pitt gets their stadium done, it will do the same thing. The ultimate loser, in my opinion, is the one that triggered this conversation in the first place, Diesel, and that's UConn. Because they had to give up their identity with the Big East to go with the American Athletic Conference with a football program that – it's just uninspiring to say the least. But the thing is if you go back to 2011, even toward 2012, most people were penciling in when the ACC was getting ready to expand that UConn would be one of those teams. You know, they had the great basketball program, great women's basketball program. The first time Randy Edsall was on campus there, you remember they actually made a Fiesta Bowl. They looked like they were right there, and then all of a sudden, boom, bottom fell out in football. And they got outmaneuvered for that bid by the University of Louisville. Now, I like what Scott Satterfield's doing at Louisville. So Louisville's been successful in the past at a smaller level. I'm not a fan of going back to the second bite of the apple. We'll see how it works out for Mack Brown at North Carolina, but it did not work out for Bobby Petrino at Louisville. But the reality is UConn got outmaneuvered by the University of Louisville, Diesel, for that for one of those spots. And the rest is it hasn't been the same in Storrs, Connecticut ever since. Give us your opinion. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Well, I'll wait till the next one.
Yeah, because we got some more to come back to. We'd love your opinion at 844-GSP-ESPN. Don't forget the USA women. Team USA, they knock off Team France 2-1 a little while ago in Paris. They will now move to the Women's World Cup semifinals next week. But 844-GSP-ESPN, who might be your winner? Who might be your loser from the last decade's round of conference expansions? So, Diesel, conference expansion is one of the things we'll go back and look at for the last decade, you know, really took place in college athletics. And the ACC expanded. Southeastern Conference a little bit before with South Carolina and Texas A&M. One of the big winners when all said and done because, you know, things that you could say, fit in life is everything, correct? Being the right fit. Also, timing in life is everything. One of the teams here on this side of the country that maybe is ultimately a winner because academically, let's be honest, due to the number of private schools as well as North Carolina, Duke, Georgia Tech, you know, Clemson for that matter, everybody, the ACC is a little bit snobbish, if you will, when it comes to their academic success, if you will. West Virginia was never going to be a good fit alignment-wise with the rest of the ACC. I think West Virginia has somehow managed to stay afloat and even take advantage of being the furthest east Big 12 team. Where else would they be otherwise?
That's a good question, but even an even bigger winner sticking at that same conference is TCU. TCU is It's a school that bounced around between five different conferences since 1995. They were in the Southwest Conference for a long time. They spent 4 years in the WAC. They spent, 5 years in the WAC, 4 years in Conference USA, 6 years in the Mountain West. They were rubbing nickels together over there. But all of a sudden, boom, they get the invite to the Big 12, and now they are rolling in cash. And the football team has been pretty dang good over the last couple of years. They still have that horrible, ugly basketball court. But they got money now, so that's pretty good.
I like their stuff. I like the Horned Frog mascot because that's such a different look. But you're right. You know, think about it. TCU was one of the original members of the Southwest Conference that the other eight teams in that league looked at and said, go screw off, we're going to the Big 12. And the other ones were what, Rice and SMU, TCU, and I think that was it. Arkansas went to the SEC. So they, yeah, they were in a barren wasteland, but you know who really changed the mantra, changed the success of TCU, was making the right hire at the right time in college football, and that was Dennis Franchione. You remember he rebuilt, and then he took the Bama job for a couple of years before he left to go to Texas A&M. But his rebuilding of that TCU football program made them attractive. And they were in the right place at the right time because SMU's wasn't. They had not gone and gotten June Jones to rebuild it yet. And Rice has just completely fallen off since, what, the 1950s? So, yeah, I mean, TCU, right coaching hire in football made them so attractive.
One of the biggest losers in conference realignment has been the Big Ten. I mean, granted, the Big Ten is big enough that they could weather it without a whole lot of discomfort. But inviting Rutgers, which has been a dumpster fire since day number one, Nebraska, which seems to be rounding the corner, especially in football, but they have been basically a dumpster fire since joining the Big Ten. They're out of place, but like I said, the Big Ten has been big enough to sort of weather that storm, so I wouldn't call them the biggest loser, but as far as conference as a whole, they haven't done particularly well. The biggest loser when it comes to conference realignment is Conference USA. I mean, they lost all their big brands to the American Athletic Conference. They started chasing market sizes. They started chasing, you know, they chased Charlotte. What has Charlotte done? Charlotte's done absolutely nothing. Old Dominion, not bad in football, but outside of that, they're not that great. They started chasing all, they poached most of the Sun Belt's good schools. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as they got into Conference USA, they started to stink it up. The big winner when it comes to conferences is the Sun Belt. Sun Belt brought in Georgia Southern and App State. Both schools have been lights out except for like 1 year with Georgia Southern. And then they made the brilliant decision to not attach themselves long-term to New Mexico State and Idaho. They kicked both of those schools to the curb. They're down to 10 schools. They're not making a whole lot of cash, but they're nimble. They can do what they want to do. Right now, they're making tremendous strides, generally thought of as the 10th best or the first worst conference as far as an FBS conference goes. But man, Sun Belt has made some pretty big strides with App, Georgia Southern, Troy. Troy's been exceptionally good. Louisiana had a couple of really off years, but Louisiana was strong last year, making it to the conference title game.
Well, I would say App State and Georgia Southern should be given credit for identifying themselves as football schools even when they were at the FCS level. You know what I mean? And this last round of conference expansion obviously was all about football. And that's what made both Georgia Southern and App State very attractive, that, hey, we know their success and we know that they got their, that's where they put their money. And by making this jump with a few other things, so I think the institutions themselves at App State and Georgia Southern do a lot of deserve a lot of credit. Now, Big Ten, you're right. I mean, what in the hell has Maryland done for the Big Ten? Does maybe bring in the Washington, D.C. area. They do have Under Armour. But the University of New Jersey, Rutgers, are you serious? But I would even say for the Big Ten, more than that, Diesel, the University in Nebraska sold their soul, they sold their leverage, and some of their legacy when they jumped to the Big Ten. They lost their identity as a football program. You know what I mean? The biggest football program there in the heartland. That has now become Oklahoma. So I think Nebraska is a loser as well. And then finally, Maryland. What has Maryland gained by going to the Big Ten? They lost all their identity when it came to, the past. And, you know, people forget in the early 70s and then the Bobby Ross era at Maryland. Maryland was the biggest, baddest team around when it comes to ACC football. I'm talking the Jerry Claiborne years. You know what I mean? To this day, one of the meanest defensive linemen I ever seen in the NFL was the former Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman Randy White. Randy White, former Maryland Terrapin, Boomer Esiason, legendary quarterback in the NFL, University of Maryland. So sometimes, but here was their thing. they were in a cash-strapped situation where the Big Ten threw them a lifeline. They got the money that they needed to maintain, but they sold their identity in which to do it. So, again, I'm with you on the Big Ten, but I think you can even break it down a little more than that. And then let me ask you this one. We'll continue this. We've got Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal, and then we're going to knock on Notre Dame. But speaking of, is Notre Dame not one of the winners? They managed to hold out, still keep NBC, managed to make it into a college football playoff this year. But when everybody else was trying to realign and we thought this may be the push that gets Notre Dame into a conference, don't look now. They swindled the ACC going, hey, we'll agree to play most of your teams in football, but we're in full bounce when it comes to the rest of the league. And I think that's an absolute embarrassment for the Atlantic Coast Conference to have sold their soul to Notre Dame. I would call Notre Dame a winner in that regard, Diesel, and I call the ACC a loser because you either all in or you're all out when it comes to being a representative of a particular conference. So is Notre Dame ultimately a winner, Deez?
Jury's still out.
Jury's still out.
It's hard to tell with those guys. I mean, it really depends on the next round of conference realignment. Are they going to break back away and go independent again, or are they going to be forced to join a conference? We just don't know.
It disgusts me. I appreciate the you know what Notre Dame is and what they how good they've been for so long, and sometimes they still live off their glory days, but their current athletic director doesn't have a freaking clue when it comes to what took place in the Cotton Bowl. But kick them out. Kick them out, and here's why. The ACC shouldn't be anybody's you-know-what. You're either in or you're out. You do not get to dictate what sports you play in the conference, and that, to me, will be the most shameful thing that John Swofford ever did in his career as commissioner of the Atlantic Coast Conference, as opposed to just keeping North Carolina off probation for all those years. So when we come back, Eric Boynton from the Spartanburg Herald Journal, we can continue this conversation. But, hey, listen, speaking of said Notre Dame athletic director, when you get beat 30-3 in a major bowl game for a college football playoff semifinal, yeah, that other team is much better than you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.